Today's sechta in the Dorim, Daf Nun Gimel, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Noidim and Atmarim. If somebody makes a nether that he will not have tomorrow, the loch is Mutter B'dvash Tamarim, he may have honey that's made out of dates, Mrs. Donios. Somebody makes a nether that he won't have benefit from grapes, which are known as Cestonius grapes. Cestonius grapes are the type of grapes that aren't ripened. And that's why they remain on the tree during the fall and the winter, even though grapes are typically cut earlier towards the end of the summer. So Hanoidim is Cestonius. If somebody made a nether that he wouldn't have these types of grapes, the loch is Mut B'chaim Cestonius. He could have the vinegar made from these types of grapes. Because it's obvious to us, explains the Ran, that this person, when he spoke about the grapes, he only meant to prohibit himself from the actual grapes. But he didn't mean to prohibit himself from the vinegar that comes from it, even though the vinegar is called Chaimet Sustanius. The Shita Mekabeshes has a whole different approach to this Mishnah. He says that what the Mishnah's come to say is that if somebody made a nether that he won't have Sustanius, not only is he allowed to have the vinegar, but what the Mishnah is trying to teach us, he explains, is that he's actually allowed to have the Cestonius themselves. And the reason he's allowed to have the Cestonius themselves is, explains the Shita, because these are not foods that are typically eaten. And since these are foods that are not typically eaten, we need not be concerned that the nether should be effective. And that's why he also says that if somebody made a nether, and that's how he explains the next words of the Mishnah, that if somebody made a nether that he wouldn't have Chaimetz Cestonius, he's allowed to have that vinegar. And the reason he's allowed to have the vinegar is because this is not the kind, vinegar is not something that people eat or consume. And therefore, since it's not really edible, a nether not to have it is not considered a nether that we have to consider. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Kol Shashem told the Kriya Lov, anything that has the name attached to where it came from, v'nadur himenu, that, in other words, if date honey isn't just called Vash, but if date honey is called Vash Tamarim, or again, the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah regarding Cestonius, if somebody, Cestonius are, when somebody speaks about Chom Cestonius, with the vinegar of this Cestonius. That's why if he made a nether about Cestonius, he'll also be Asr. Chaim Cestonius, Asr, then he's going to be Asr, B'yotzer Menu, than anything that emanates from that. Because since the byproduct carries the name of what you mentioned, since it carries that name, that's why it's considered part of your nether. The Chamim disagree. Even though in the previous sugyas we said that when we spoke about somebody who made a nether from milk, and the question was what's the halacha regarding kumah d'chalba, we learned that even though there was a machlokes if whey is included in your nether when you speak about milk, everybody agreed that if the whey is called kumah d'chalba, it's included. So why did Rabbanan say by Tamarim that if somebody made a nether regarding Tamarim, he's allowed to have Dvash Tamarim? Why is it different than the Kuma de Chalba? So it goes back to something that we discussed in our previous year. Honey or vinegar is a total transformation from what is something that totally changed. The dates that turned into honey are not dates anymore. The grapes that turned into vinegar are not grapes anymore. But kuma, the whey part of the milk, was always there. And that's why since it was always there, it doesn't represent a real chemical transformation. And since it doesn't represent a real chemical transformation, that's why cum is more connected to the milk than the honey is to the date and the vinegar is to the grape. We learned in the Mishnah, we just learned the last words, that chama matirim. The chama hold that even if you said that you're not going to have, if you said you're going to have dates, even if the dates are called, the honey is called dvash tamarim, the halach is that you're allowed to have the dvash tamarim. But ask the Gemara, isn't that exactly how we began the Mishnah? Isn't that the same as the Tanakhama? So ask the Gemara, Chacham and the Tanakhama. The opinion of the Chacham that we just learned is identical to what the Tanakhama said. Answers, the Gemara, Ikam and I heard the Tanya. There is a difference between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim regarding this rule. Klaza Amr Shimon Meloza, Kol Shadaka Lechel, when it is the people eat the food, V'derech HaYotzu Men Lechel, and people also eat what emanates from that food. Kegoin, Tamarim Advash Tamarim, dates and honey of the date. Not the bar, if you made a nether in the honey and the date, also be yotzu menu, then you're not allowed to benefit from what comes out from it. Because since both of these are foods that are eaten, and this is clearly part of the date, that's why it's usur. Similarly, hanoidim yotzu menu, if somebody were to make a nether on the honey, and he didn't mention the date, the loch would be also apoy. He wouldn't be allowed to have the dates either. However, when you have a food, kol she'ein da'ak alecho, which is not normally eaten, v'derech ha'yotzu men alecho, but it is common to eat what comes out from that food. Nor the boy, if you made a nether in the fruit, in osel b'yotzu menu, then you would only be also to eat what comes out. Because we say that he certainly didn't mean the fruit that he mentioned, the food that he mentioned, because that's not something that's edible. So we're going to assume that he only meant what comes out, which is the edible part. So the Chachamim in our Mishnah hold, like Rav Shimon ben Lozer, and when we said in the Mishnah, Chachamim Matirim, that's talking about the Sestonius. Since people don't eat the grapes, and they do consume the vinegar that comes out of the grapes, that's when you're going to be allowed to have the grapes. And they disagree in that way with the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama says that if somebody says Sestonius, even if he's not going to allow to have the Sestonius, but he's going to have the vinegar. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira holds that Anoidim Sestonius is also both in the grape and in the vinegar. So when it says, so in other words, we have now three very distinct opinions. One mandam is going to hold that you only usur in the vinegar, and that's going to be the chachamim, the last words of the Mishnah. There's one mandam that's going to say that you're going to not be allowed to have the sestonius, but you will, if you mention sestonius, and you will be allowed to have the chaimitz. That's the Tanakam Mishnah. And then we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira's opinion, who says that you're not going to be allowed, when you say Sestonius, not only will you not be allowed to have the Sestonius, but you're not going to be allowed to have the vinegar that comes out of the Sestonius. Hanoida Minayayin, if somebody makes a nether that he won't consume wine, says the Mishnah Mutabayayin Tapuchim, he's allowed to have apple wine. Minashemin, if somebody makes a nether that he won't have oil, because when we speak about wine, we mean grape wine, because that's the only wine that's called yayin without any suffix. And the same thing when you speak about oil, you're allowed to have sesame seed oil, because when people in those days spoke about shemen, shemen meant olive oil. Menadvash, if somebody said he won't have honey, mutadvash tamarim, because again, plain dvash is bee honey, and this is not that was not what was said. Menachaimitz, if somebody made a nether from vinegar, muta b'chaimitz stonius. And again, this is a particular type of chaimitz, and it's not the typical chaimitz that was used. Menayerek, if somebody made a nether that is not allowed to have vegetables, muta b'yerek sasada. Yerek means, again, yerek means something that grows in the garden. In Yerok Sada, somebody goes wild in the field, is not regular Yerok because it has a Shem Levi. Amishta said that there's Yerok and there's Yerogina and Yerok Sada. And this is a Yerogina, says the Mishnah, is when you say Yerok, you mean Yerok Gina, you don't mean Yerok Sada. Similarly, the Mishnah said, when you say Yayin, you mean grape wine, no other type of wine. Not a question that I saw that the Ran discusses is what's going to be the halacha if you have Yayin Mevushel, a very common question that people many times only have Yayin Mevushel. What will be the halacha then? Is Yayin Mevushel included in Yayin or not? Because it's called Yayin Mevushel. It's called cooked wine. So the Ran says that even though it has this suffix attached to it, and we've been learning throughout our shiur, just now the Mishnah said that whenever there's a suffix attached to something, it means that that's not what I meant. But Yayin Mevushel is not a description of what type of wine we're talking about. Yayin Mevushel is a description of what happened to the wine. And since it's just a description of what happened to the wine, the halacha would be that you would not be allowed to have Yayin Mevushel if you made a neder against Yayin. Similarly, on the other hand, there is a machlokes. What about raisin wine? We're clearly indicating the wine only means grape wine. Is raisin wine considered grape wine? That's a interesting machlokes achroinim. Says the Gemara, Tanya, hanoidim and hashemen. If somebody makes a neder that he's not going to have oil, because typically people in Eretz Yisrael did not use sesame seed oil. So when they said oil, they did not presumably mean sesame oil. But it'll be usher in olive oil because that was the typical oil used in Eretz Yisrael. Or bavel, if such another was made in bavel, then he won't be allowed to have sesame seed oil. Because in Bavel, they typically used sesame seed oil and not oil. Where people use both types of oil, the halacha will be also b'zeh b'zeh. Of course, that's only the case where he says that he doesn't express what he meant. But the Ritva says that if the person who made the neder says clearly that when I made the neder, I meant only one of these types of oil, the halacha is that we would believe him. And this is a concept that we've learned earlier in the Masechta. The person has a right, Pirushin Lahakal, he has a right to define what he meant with the neder. The Taz disagrees. And the Taz says that since we also learned earlier in our Masechta, that Stam Nedarm Lahachmer, we can't just allow this person to say, well, this is what I meant, and be lenient. And the Karban Nasano is very sharp in disagreeing with the Taz. He says, Hashem Dvarim Keneged HaSeichel, the things that don't make any sense. He says, why can't the person explain what he meant? Pshita says the Gemara, this halacha that we just learned, that since people, when they talk about oil, in this location, mean both olive oil and sesame seed oil, if you said a neder just using the word shemen, it means both. So of course, ask the Gemara, Pshit, isn't that obvious? Answers the Gemara, the Loi Tzricha, we're referring to a situation, the Rubim and Chad Mestapkim. Most people use one type of oil, and Mad Tema Ozel Bas Ruba, so we would think that we should follow the Roiv, Kamash Malon, that since there are enough people that use the other type of oil, so there's a rule of Suffolk Lesur Lahak Khumra Wemekel. And I saw that the Rishonim point out that in many that isn't the Halach B'chal HaTorah Kul that we follow the Rav, the Roiv. So why over here do we not follow the Roiv? So they explain that since that rule is only said where it makes sense to say that the Roiv is correct. But since there here are a decent amount of people that use both, we can't just be lenient without any explanation. However, the Rambam does say that we're being machmer and not going to allow him to eat either of the types of oils, even the one that's a miyut. Says the Rambam that even though we're being machmer and not allowing this person to have the type of oil which is the miyut, if he did have the type of oil, then the halacha would be he would not get malchus. We can't give malchus because it's only a chumrah. It's only a chumrah that we're following, and since it's only a chumrah, then we can't use the concept. We can't be machmer. But there's a different approach to this entire question, and it's an approach that we've discussed in our shiurim, and that is that the whole concept of bittul is only said when we have a roiv and a miyut. We have a roiv when we have an isser and a heter. The example we always give is a drop of milk that fell into the chicken soup. So when we have a drop of milk that fell into the chicken soup, so we have here the chicken soup is the heter, it's the roiv, and then you have some milk, which is the isser, fell into the heter. So when you have two different objects that oppose each other, so to speak, that's when we use the concept of bittul. But when we're speaking about two different objects that don't really oppose each other, the shemen, somebody making a nether, they won't have oil. Saying that he meant shemen shumshemen and shemen zaysim, olive oil and sesame seed oil, don't contradict each other. You could certainly have a nether that you're not going to eat either of those type of oils. Since such a nether can coexist, we can't use the concept of... Says the Mishnah, Hanoidim in a Yerek. Says the Gemara, somebody says, Hanoidim in a Yerek. If somebody made a nether that he won't have vegetables, B'shash Nei Shavua, other years of the which are not Shemitah year, also B'yurak Sasad, you know, he means vegetables that grow in the garden, U'muta B'yurak Sasada. That's not people, because as we've been learning, Yerek Hasada is called Yerek Hasada, and you said Yerek, so you meant vegetable gardens, garden vegetables. But in the Shemitah year, where you can't go in, you can't plant in your garden, then it will be just the opposite. Also be Yerek Hasada, because those are the ones that grow by themselves, and that's why when people refer to vegetables in the Shemitah year, where we're not allowed to plant vegetables. So the only way they had vegetables were vegetables that they planted, that they grew wild in the field. So in the Shemitah year, when you use the word Yerek, you presumably mean Yerek Hasada, and you'll be Mutter B'Yerek Hasagina. So the Ran explained, like we just said, in most years, vegetables come from the garden. In the Shemitah year, vegetables come from the field. So the Migdash David asked that even in the garden, isn't there vegetables that grow even during the Shemitah year because from seeds that were left in the garden from previous years? And why would those vegetables are not vegetables that we planted during the Shemitah year? So why wouldn't I say that that's what I meant when I said Yerek, even in the Shemitah year? So the answer that the Meiri already gives to this question is that since the field, the gina, were left protected, closed during the Shemitah year, anything that grows from something that's shomer, you are not allowed to eat. So even though the vegetables grew by themselves, but they grew from a field that was protected, that had a gate around it. Says the Gemara, Amar Avu Mishum Rechanina Ben Gamliel, Loi Shana B'makom She'em V'yek Yerek M'chutz La'aretz. We just said that in the Shemitah year, if you made such a nether, you can't have field vegetables, but you can have garden vegetables. That's only in a place where there is no vegetables being imported from overseas, from outside of Israel. El b'makom she'em v'yim yerek mechutz la'aretz. Av b'makom she'em yerek mechutz la'aretz. If you live in a place where vegetables are brought from chutz la'aretz, so even in the Shemitah year, the vegetables that you're eating are gina vegetables, garden vegetables, usher, then the halacha will be that you usher both in vegetable, yerek gina, and yerek soda. And again, the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, it's very similar to what we spoke about with the shemen. If there's a place, which is the normal condition in all the years besides the Shemitah year, that the yerek that's eaten is the yerek has hagina, So the Yerek Asad is considered something else. If you live in a place where they eat Yerek Sada, Shemitah year, so the Yerek Sada is what's included. But here you're living in a place that has both. Since you're allowed to have both, so that's a proof that both types of vegetables are considered vegetables in the Shemitah year. Just like both types of shemen, the olive oil and the sesame seed oil are considered shemen in a place that both are used. Says the Gemara, Ketanoi, this machloikis, that if you could bring vegetables from Chutz Lars to Eretz Yisrael, is actually machloikis tanoim. The Brisa says, "Emvin yerek mechutz laaretz laaretz." You're not allowed to bring vegetables from chutz laaretz to Yisrael. Chananya ben Gamliel Omer, "Emvin yerek mechutz laaretz." We may, and that's why he says that in certain places they brought vegetables, and certain places they didn't bring vegetables. Says the Gemara, "My tam demandam emvin." Why would there be a mandam that says you're not allowed to bring vegetables from chutz laaretz to Yisrael? Says the Gemara, "Amr Rabbi Yirmiya." Mishum Gush. Chazal, in Masechta Shabbos, of Tez Vav Mabez, made a gzera of Tuma al Eretz Amin. And that's why you're not allowed to bring vegetables from Chutz Laretz, because there's going to be earth very much attached to the vegetables. And since there's Tuma on that earth, so they're not allowed to bring that type of vegetable to Eretz Yisrael. What is the Tuma on the gush of the Eretz Amim? So some explain that in Eretz Amim, they weren't careful in burying all the people properly. So it's possible that you're going to have attached to that earth a part of a nifter. And since you're going to have on that part of a nifter, that's why Chazal said that the gush of Eretz Amim is tamei. Says the Mishnah in Akruv, if somebody makes an edit that he won't have cabbage, before we go further, there's an interesting question. We know that we paskin, especially Bizman Azeh, that one may bring vegetables or fruits from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, in the Shemitah year, where somebody has a choice, could he eat vegetables from Chutz Laaretz? Or to eat vegetables that were grown in Eretz Yisrael in a permissible manner. In one of our previous shiurim, we mentioned the opinion of the Mabit that said that one cannot eat vegetables that grow in fields that are owned by non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. But we also quoted the opinion of Beis Yosef that such vegetables may be consumed. So now a person has a choice. Does a person has a choice to eat vegetables that come from Chutz Laaretz, or to eat vegetables that grew in Eretz Yisrael with following all of the halachas of Shemitah? What is better? So the Chashuki Chemet says that it's better to buy the vegetables from Chutz Laaretz, because it explains the mitzvah of eating perishvias doesn't mean that you have to eat perishvias, that every time somebody eats perishvias, he's fulfilling a mitzvah. The mitzvah is that you're not allowed to destroy, you're not allowed to cause that perishvias should go lehefsed, that perishvias should go to waste. If you don't have perishvias, so you're not causing it to go to waste. And therefore, there is no mitzvah, he says, there's no special mitzvah to eat those vegetables. He says you could comfortably eat the vegetables that come from Chutz Laaretz. Says the Mishnah in a Kruv, if somebody made a neder that he won't have cabbage, also asparagus, and if he made a neder that he won't have asparagus, he's mutter b'kruv. The Ran says that asparagus is a variety of kruv. It's a variety of cabbage, and that's why it's usur. Others say that the difference between asparagus and kruv is just cabbage. Asparagus is a type of a dish that that they made from cabbage. And since it's a type of drink that came from cabbage, so it's considered like cabbage. But if you made the nether on asparagus, then you would be allowed to have krua because you were very specific that all you don't want to have is asparagus. Menagrisim. If somebody made a nether that he won't have ground beans, asa b'mikvah, they used to make some sort of a cereal out of beans. That's included in ground beans. Rabbi Yossi Matar, Rabbi Yossi allows it. Menamikvah, if somebody made a nether that he won't have this type of cereal made out of beans, mutav agrisin, you're allowed to have the ground, you're allowed to have the ground bean. And that would be the opinion, both according to Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. That wouldn't be a machloikus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Menamikvah, if somebody made a nether that he won't have from the cereal, asa b'shum. The mikvah refers to something, to actual cereal, and not to the garlic that's put into it. Rabbi Yossi says that you're allowed to have minashum, that you're allowed to have the shum, even though garlic is added to it, it's not the primary ingredient. Minashum, if somebody made a nether that he won't have garlic, then the halacha is muta b'mikvah. Because again, it's not the primary ingredient in the mikvah. Menadashim, we spoke about this in a previous year. If somebody made a nether that he won't have lentils, also bashishim. Ashishim are lentils that are fried with honey because it's really adashim. Rav Yossi Matar. Menashishim, if you clearly said that your nether involves that you won't have ashishim, mutar badashim. Chita, if somebody said chita, chitim shanitayim, that he expressed his nether that way, then the halacha is osur bein kemach, he's not allowed to have flour made out of wheat, or bein pasni, can't have bread. Because the word chitim refers to when they're still raw, before they were baked, which would include flour. And chita represents, as again, this is the opinion of the Ran, chita refers to when it's baked already, and that means that's why you weren't allowed to have bread. That's the first pshat. That's the first pshat in the Ran, or the second pshat in the Ran. The first pshat in the Ran is says that if the person meant only to prohibit himself, chita should mean wheat, and if chita means wheat, it should only include raw flour. It shouldn't include bread. But since the person mentioned both chita and chitim, the fact that he mentioned both indicates that he wants to add something. And that's why we say that not only did he mean that he's not going to have raw flour, he also meant to include that he's not going to have bread by adding the word chito chitim. It says the Mishnah further. Somebody said gris grisim shanitayim. Then the halacha is issa bechayim v'mashalim. Grisim typically mean when they're raw. But the fact that you added the word grisim, it also includes when they're cooked. Rav Yehuda Mekoinim gris achitim shanitayim, muta lo kos chayim. Since people don't typically chew on one grain, as people don't chew on one grain, we don't say that that's not what he included in the nether. But Rav Yehuda would agree that he's not allowed to have bread, because that is a combination of many grains of flour, and that's what he meant with his nether. It says the Maratanya of Shimon Gamaliel Oimer, Chita Shanitayim, if somebody says, I'm not going to have Chita, Asa Lefais, he's not allowed to bake bread, because by taking all of the flour and combining it, what you end up with is a loaf of bread. Muta Lokos, you're allowed to chew raw wheat. Chitim, one kernel. Chitim shanitayim, os locus, then he meant that I'm not going to chew wheat, but muta lefos, he's allowed to bake the bread. Chita shanitayim, also bein locus and bein lefos. Again, the same concept that we've been discussing throughout his shiur. The fact that he added two words means that he wants to include more. And similarly, he said, grish shanitayim, also levashel, you're not allowed to cook grits. Muta lucus, but you would be allowed to chew them. Grisim shanitayim, also locus, umuta lavasho. Grisim shanitayim, by saying both words, also bein lavasho, bein locus. There's an interesting shaila that the Paiskim want to use our Mishnah to discuss. There's very often the question that comes up when somebody eats a fruit that is dissolved. The best example would be an applesauce. What would be the bracha on applesauce? Is it a bari prietz because it comes from an apple? Or is it a shahakal because you can't see that it's an apple? The Taz says that the bracha on apples is a bari prietz. An applesauce would be a bari prietz. And one of the rayas is when we began our shiur today. We began the shiur today by saying, Hanoida b'tmarim, muta b'dvash tmarim. So it's dvash tmarim. So he wants to say that what does the Mishnah mean to say? That, and we focused, and we mentioned this when we learned earlier, that dvash tmarim, when you have dates and you turn them into honey, so you've very much transformed the date into honey. But it seems that if you had a date that you just didn't transform into honey, you just smashed it, for example, it would be usur. So we see that even though it's not recognizable, you've turned it into a puree or anything that way, it still will be considered tamarim. And similarly, the fruit, the apple that you made into an applesauce, you pureed into an applesauce, would still be considered by a prietz. The Achronim disagree with the Taz, and they say that you can't bring a raya from Hilchus Nedarim to Hilchus Brachus. Hilchus Brachus have very defined rules that Chazal established what is the proper bracha on a specific food. And that's what the bracha is, not determined in any other way. However, when we speak about Hilchus Nedarim, as we keep on repeating, even in our current shiur, the Hilchus Nedarim is connected to what people say. It's considered dark Lashon B'nei Adam. And the question is, what is and isn't included? When you set a date, what is included in Tamarim in people's language? And what is not included in Tamarim in people's language? And therefore, Hilchus Nedarim and Hilchus Drachus travel separately. The Bir Halacha says that the Halacha is when you have a fruit, again, using the apples as the proof, if you have apples that were completely pureed and you can't tell that there's no piece of apple, then the bracha would be shahakal. But if it can be determined that it still has pieces of apple on it, then he says the bracha would be a ha'etz. It depends if you could see there's a piece of apple in it or not. Hanu lachanoidim anavoshol, hanu lachanoidim anavoshol, hanu lachanoidim anavoshol.